Good afternoon, everybody. Great to see everybody. I think everybody knows me, but I'm Fran Bitterman, Director of the Early Childhood Funders. It's my pleasure to welcome you here today for this follow-up session on racial equity and grant making. Thank you for joining us as we continue this conversation that we started with Elena back in January of this year at the ECF meeting. We realize this is an important issue that all of you are currently working on. And we really appreciate Elena's willingness to kind of lead us in this important conversation today. So, without any further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Elena and take it away. Thank you again, Elena, for being here.
Thank you. I just had my internet cut in and out, which is really worrying me, and you all are frozen. So, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I will just keep talking, and if I can't believe this is happening as soon as I need to talk. If you can't hear me, please just send a note in the chat because you all are kind of frozen right now. So my apologies, and I might stop my video for a minute so it gets better. Okay. So thank you so much for having me back. It's so nice to be here with you all, and this is such an important conversation.
Oh, we lost him.
I wonder if we suggest she call back in, if that would.
Hi, I'm so sorry. Can you hear me? Hello? Ah,
We can hear you, Elena.
okay. This is so frustrating. I'm so sorry.
Sorry.
Okay. Hopefully my internet will cooperate. This has not happened in a while. So want to just thank you all, and I'll just say a few quick words and going to turn it over to folks in the group to continue the conversation. But this is the time for you all to kind of say what's on your mind. We started this important conversation about racial equity and grant making. We talked about philanthropy not having the same checks and balances as other businesses. This issue.
Can anybody hear her? No, we can't hear you, Elena. Oh. Oh dear. The weather may be contributing to this. I don't know. Elena, we can't hear you.
Hi, all. I'm going to call in from my phone so that this doesn't happen again.
Yay, we're sorry.
The number or code you.
Sorry, folks.
Yeah, really sorry. I'm calling in now.
Thank you, Kevin, for putting that.
Welcome.
No. Technology at its finest. Should we start with Shahina and just assume and hope that Elena will come back on board?
Meeting now.
And that might be a good idea, Fran. We could do the sharing experiences part, and then Elena could clean up a little bit after that.
Okay, I don't know if Elena can even hear us.
I think she just dialed in.
Elena, are you there? She's on mute, but
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry. This has literally not happened since shelter in place, where I literally cannot get into a call. All right. Well, I'm sorry for the delay. Ready to get started. I will be very, very brief because of the delay. And just wanted to say, you know, this is really the time for you all to kind of say what is on your mind with respect to racial equity and grant making. It's not an easy topic. And I even feel a little bit like anxious talking about it because, you know, we're still at the San Francisco Foundation. We think about this all the time, and there's still a lot of challenges, right, that I think I was really honest about the last time we spoke. And so I am navigating this with you all and really appreciate the opportunity to be here and just continue the conversation. There are one thing I just wanted to say in the framing as Fran and I were talking about this, there are so, every foundation, as we all know, is so are so different. And you can, family foundation, corporate, community, and the boards, you know, operate in their own way. And but hopefully at the end of the day, our goals are to be accountable to our grantees and to community and to be in service to them and not the other way around, which is just the ultimate irony for me in philanthropy is like, this is about service. And first, and then, but it really, the power dynamics around around money start to warp that, right? And so that you start to kind of lose perspective. And for me, my biggest worry after over a decade in philanthropy is to lose that perspective. So these conversations keep us honest and keep us real. And so I'm really excited that we're going to hear from two wonderful ECF members who will share highlights about a particular aspect of their foundation's journey addressing racial equity and grant making. Each one will have about 5 minutes, and we're going to have some time for discussion. And again, I would just encourage you all to, like, this is my new mantra, not to overthink it. Like, if there are questions that come up or things that you're grappling with, it's okay if we don't have the right words to put to those things. Like, this is hard stuff, and it may not always come out perfectly, but we have to be real and grapple with it and be direct. So this is such a great space. I haven't been in many spaces like this, so I appreciate being invited in. Also, just want to say Kara Dukakis had been planning to speak but had a family emergency, so she's unable to be with us today, but sends her regrets. And so with that, I think I'm going to hand it over to Shahina. Would love to get your perspective, Shahina, on what your process was for engaging with the board to get them to respond to increased calls in racial equity for racial equity and grant making. And if you could just share some of your journey for us, that would be awesome.
Yeah, thank you, Elena. So my name is Shahina Khan, and I am with the Rainin Foundation. So I want to acknowledge that, you know, my journey might be a little bit different than some of yours. As you know, I see that, you know, my liberation as a Black woman, a mother, a longtime urban educator in urban cities mostly, is bound up with the communities that have also been oppressed in this country for more than 400 years. And so that makes my journey of racial equity possibly different than yours. But I do offer this space to push us both forward in, you know, a parallel path as seeing ourselves as either allies or activists. It really doesn't matter, regardless of our backgrounds and our histories. Like, the focus is, like, our ultimate goal on how do we liberate the disenfranchised and marginalized Black and brown children and families that, you know, without racial equity, they have really no chance of the American dream. Like, until the educational system, until there's like a real reckoning of this and a shift in power, there's really no opportunity here. So it is about self-discovery, about where you are on your journey and what you feel most comfortable with. It is a very brave space that you have to step in. But these are the things that I hold in my heart around racial equity as I engage with my board, with my team, whomever. And so, you know, the last 5 to 6 minutes that I have left, I'll say that, you know, being in philanthropy definitely is a new space for me. So I'm always learning. I'm not an expert, but the way that I started was as a new director, I started with making sure that I had a clear strategy coming in. Strategy, honestly, is everything. So as I was building a new strategic plan, that was my moment in time to be brave and embed it in a strategic plan. But in order to do that, I felt that that strategy, to your point, Elena, really had to be vetted by stakeholders, really had to come from what the community thought about it. The idea of starting a new strategy without the community, parents, teachers, folks that, you know, that are involved in this process would be oppressive in and of itself. So I didn't want to replicate that. I didn't want to duplicate. I didn't want to go back down that same path again. So we actually developed, my team and I, we put together what we call a community strategy council for educational equity. And the focus was to hear from the community what they thought about our strategies. We felt like that would be a great collective to test our ideas, for them to help draft our ideas and then stay on board so that we could test them with them. And that's under sort of this liberatory design model in and of itself. So it wasn't just about, hey, let me share some ideas with you and then get your response and your input and then we're done. We've taken sort of your value, exported that, and then, you know, now we're done with whatever it is that you have to say. But it was more of, how do we keep and engage this group of folks to help us to initially be just responsive in our grant making, which has now evolved to it being beyond just responsive, but thinking about more of a shift in power. And that's more information that at some point I would love to talk to you guys more about. And then secondly, after that work, it was communicating with my board. So I figured out a strategy of, if I communicate my intentions, A, through the strategic plan, and then B, just having conversations with the CEO. We work for family foundation, and just sort of breaking down questions that they had about racial equity first, and then being able to tell a very compelling story of like what it is and why now, sort of like what's taking place right now, the context of this movement is a real opportunity for folks to join in. Seeing that this problem of oppression and poverty and the things that we know that our children are experiencing, we know that our children learn in the context of not just the classroom and an academic setting. And so it begs the question, like, this problem is so complex. How can we cure poverty? How can we cure these the challenges that are taking place with just whatever it is that we used to do? You know, it's not working. And so really telling the story with data, hearing the voices of the community, we put that together for our board in a compelling way. And honestly, they were also on their journey for DEI, but what we had to do was we had to make sure that it was clear how racial equity connected to education. Folks don't necessarily see DEI and the work within early childhood, for instance, as having these this connection. It's like, okay, well, we can do DEI to kind of learn about things and learn about our biases, but how does that really relate to education? And so helping them understand that the system itself is one that reflects oppression, And that they're institutional, that there's institutional racism and biases, which hold back the investments that we're putting in. So again, this is the language of a board. What is the impact of our investment? And if that investment is not being utilized in a way that's helping us get the gains, helping us to scale our programs, well, then that's something that we have to look at. And so what I'm suggesting is just like really listening to your board and it being more of a conversation than this is what we have to do and we have to do this now. But having the conversation of this is where we are and this is what I think could really make a big difference in our impact and how effective we can be in these investments, I think that we could make a lot of ground in speaking to our boards in that matter. And as a result of that, we have been very successful as a team in talking about ways in which we want to strengthen our learning ecosystem for our children, ways in which we're going to join the collective movement around racial equity, speaking specifically about the levers that we'll use for equity to impact the gains that we want to see and the ways in which we would address that within the community. So I do offer, I know this is a lot in a few minutes, I do offer opportunities to follow up with the funders in the room to have more conversations if you're interested.
Thank you so much, Shahina. It's so powerful to hear. And I just really appreciate your transparency and sharing that with us. I have so many questions, I think we all do, but for right now, we'll move to our next speaker. Malia, you're gonna talk to us about Heising Simon's decision to take this leap and try an experiment. And I'd love to hear from you, you know, what the foundation's hope is as to how it will advance racial equity and how has that journey been for you?
Great, thank you, Elena. And thank you everybody for allowing me to jump into a follow-up conversation when I wasn't at the original. I appreciate that. So I'm Malia Ramler. I'm at the Heising Simons Foundation. And so in 2018, the education program at Heising Simons did a refresh of our strategic plan. And it reaffirmed and reprioritized equity, and it centered racial equity. And so like all of you, right, we are not remotely unique in this. Sort of affirmed the North Star of reimagining an early education system that was actually designed for the success of the children who are sitting around circle time, who are children of color, low income, dual language learners from mixed immigrant status, you know, the actual children who are there, what would it look like if the system was designed for them? So those are, that's the North Star, those are nice words. That's really consistent what has always been there. But that refresh really pushed us to ask ourselves sort of our own DEI questions about what would it mean to actually have race equity at the center. And so we did what philanthropy does, right, is we started to gather information. So we started in 2019 doing a bunch of things. We had a race equity roundtable where we brought in some of our grantees and some of our CBO partners and folks with lived experience to ask them to sort of school us and give us recommendations. We tried some things like doing an equity audit of a portion of our portfolio to try to kind of ground whether our giving was centered in race equity through some metrics and things that we would look for in the work of our grantees. We started to dig in a more serious way than we had before into actually gathering demographics from our grantees so that we had a baseline or a benchmark to know what percentage of our giving was going to BIPOC-led organizations. And we continued our learning from the body of work that is trust-based philanthropy, right? So we just started gathering information from all the places we could. And we engaged Bridgespan, right? Sort of the normal big philanthropy thing to do a scan and make recommendations. And lo and behold, from all those different directions, to nobody's surprise, maybe a little bit of a surprise that even Bridgespan, right, was the same thing, we started hearing the same themes over and over and again. You started getting saturation of what folks were saying. And we sort of synthesized those into some, the way that we think about the DEI principles, which was widening the aperture, community voice, and flexibility. Widening the aperture means getting beyond our own networks, getting beyond the usual suspects, and possibly widening the aperture beyond our narrow priorities. Community voice, trusting that solutions came from folks closest. The way I think about that is the words of one of our Race Equity Roundtable participants who bravely said to us as a nonprofit funded partner, don't make us accountable to you. We're not accountable to you. We're accountable to our communities. If we're accountable to you, it's a problem, right? So trusting the community-based partners who are accountable to the folks closest to the issues, and thinking really hard about whose expertise we value. I love our friends at the universities, but they're not the only people with expertise. And flexibility, right? The things that our funded partners have been saying to us forever, multi-year funding, unrestricted, let go of your predetermined metrics. So all of those things are coming from all the different directions, and we're still not doing anything different. And we're not doing anything different because it's scary. Like many, we have a really data-driven analytic board, really smart folks who are quite appropriately attached to the evidence base, to being data-driven, to fidelity, to scale. And they will continue to be, and they should be. So sort of saying we're going to be flexible and we're going to widen the aperture and we're going to let go of the outcomes that we've spent tons of time building really tight theories of change and strategies around is really scary. And then 2020 happened, right? The pandemic happened and the racial reckoning centuries in the making happened. And it brought not only a sense of urgency, but this really inescapable, in your face, hold up the mirror realization that what we had been doing isn't working. That if we do the same things we've always done coming from the place of wealth, power, privilege, and white supremacy that is philanthropy, we were going to get the same outcomes. And a good example of that is every grant summary starting with a problem statement, right? Not a helpful way to frame if you're really being community-based. So sort of really starting to be forced to do some soul searching about, it's not just that we want to give other people money to do something different. We have to do something different. What does it look like for us to do something different? And that led us to this experiment that we're calling Families Lead California. And we're in the middle of it now. And we aren't experts. We don't have any big answers or solutions, but I can share what the experiment is. With the support of our board and the support of Barbara Chow, our program director, we took a percentage of our California budget for 2021. And I think that really helped to say, we're not pivoting completely. We're going to do an experiment and we're going to take 10% and we're going to do this thing called Families Lead California. And, framing it as an experiment allowed our board and our leadership to say, we're going to stretch, we're going to take risk, we're not doing a wholesale dropping of our strategy. And how it was different, how is different more than the what is different, because we're an early childhood funder, we're focused on educational equity, those things haven't changed. is that we were going to do an open call, not invitation only. We were going to use community advisors to help read and score applications and make recommendations from our applicant pool to the board. We were going to be unrestricted. It was going to be 3 years. We were going to put out there an intention to give beyond the dollar and do some co-creation for the option, not the requirement, but the option of communities of practice and organizational effectiveness support for a cohort of 9 to 12 grantees. And the external goals were about strengthening the parent leadership sector. And I welcome you to go to our website to see, you know, what those external goals were. But for our conversation, the internal goals were really for us to identify partners beyond our usual suspects, particularly BIPOC-led organizations, and to increase the proportion of our portfolio that was BIPOC-led organizations and power-building organizations. We wanted to stretch and learn about power sharing, particularly with this idea of a community advised recommendation process. And so finding parent leaders who would help us look at applicants through their lens. And because we're not going to abandon our strategic priorities, that's not what this is about. We wanted to start to have a relationship base so that we had a different relationship with different community-based providers that we could then invite into strategy development. That when we're working on dual language learning or early math or workforce, that we had different partners to come to the table with us, and that the only way to get authentic about bringing them to the table was to build long-term relationships. And this was therefore a relational play. We are right in the thick of this. Applications closed in the beginning of March. The finalist set of applications are going through to community advisors tomorrow. So we're right in the middle of it. We're stumbling through it. What we've learned so far is 85% of our applicants were new to Heising Simons. So we're really excited about that. They're a really different pool than who we know to go to ourselves. Working with community advisors and their parent leaders from outside of California so that they don't have conflicts of interest is pushing us. They're awesome and they challenge us. And, you know, it's a real exercise in putting our defensiveness on the back burner and listening to them challenging the way we always do things. And that doing things differently takes time. We really deliberately didn't use an intermediary for this because we thought if the goal is proximity, if we go to an intermediary, we're going to lose proximity. But without an intermediary, it's just working really differently. And it's it just takes a lot of time, not only for the program officers, but for our grants management folks, for our communications folks, for our data folks. We didn't have a way in our data portal to do open call, right? So it's really pushing us to do a lot of things differently. We're sure we're gonna make a lot of mistakes. It was nice to be able to say to the board, if it's all a mistake, it's 10%. And the worst thing that happened is we'll put some money into the community-based parent strengthening sector. Not such a big risk. So that's what we're trying. And we're learning as we go. We're stumbling down this road together with all of you.
Thank you so much, Malia. Wow, there was a lot there. You, as Shahina said, yeah, you all have done so much and just really appreciate you taking the time to share all of that with us. I really love that note about if we're feeling accountable to you, that's the problem. That's really going to stick with me for a long time. So thank you for that. So now is the time where we can actually like take this all in and have conversation in small groups. So before we break out, and I'm going to put the questions in the chat right now. Let's see, here we go. Before we do that, though, I just wanted to say, you know, one thing that I heard recently from Center for Effective Philanthropy, CEP, was that they're seeing a lot of foundations kind of waking up to racial equity, and they're so excited about that. And like, but some of the data is showing already that it's temporary, that it's like this moment in time where I think people are activated and paying attention. But some of the things that we know are just really important practices, many of which Malia and Shahina articulated in their presentations, are kind of, a lot of foundations see them as temporary. And that was really kind of a wake-up call for me to think about, like, how do we both take advantage of the moment that we're in to try new things and to really center racial equity, but how do we make sure it sticks? So that was one thing I just wanted to put out there for you all to carry with you in your small breakouts. The two questions are, what did you hear today from our presenters that was an aha moment? And what are you grappling with in your own efforts within your foundation? And again, you know, as transparent as you can, as you feel comfortable being, I think everyone really learns and benefits from that. So with that, I think we'll spend about the next 20 minutes or so, if I'm not mistaken, in our small breakout groups.
Yes, it's actually 24 minutes. So there'll be four breakout rooms with four people in each. And Elaine, I have you and your phone in the same breakout room. Don't worry.
Thank you.
It's you, Fran! Exclamation mark. Also, there was supposed to be another participant, but she bailed. Dot, dot, dot. If you want, I can move each of you into the other three rooms and close the room you're in. Dot, dot, dot.
Ken, you're becoming so proficient.
Thanks a lot. So everyone will be trickling back in over the next few seconds. We shall be back together at 2:01, and then be an opportunity to share learnings, and then we'll do the poll.
Welcome back, everyone. Fran, Kevin, Kenneth, are we good with taking some time to share the highlights?
Yes.
Okay. Welcome back. Hope you all had great breakouts. I actually ended up in a group, so that was really fun. And this is just a time to share freely any highlights from your discussions. You can share out loud, put in the chat, but I know we had an incredible conversation in our group. Any highlights?
I can share if that's okay. So our team, I would say some of the themes that came up were around how you make things accessible for your board and trustees. So we really resonated with how Malia talked about, you know, they said, it's just going to be 10%. And we're going to test and learn some stuff. It put to mind for us how, you know, venture philanthropy works in some ways. So that was one thing that came up for us. The other piece, of course, that resonated strongly with us was about accountability. And so we had a lot of conversation about what that looks like and how we too could possibly reframe that for our in our organizations. And at the end of the day, I think where we landed was like, if we feel good about you know, the answer to the question of what will be better for children because of this work, or you know, children and families, then that's probably enough accountability to build the case for. And then we talked about streamlining reporting, and I was sharing how I attended something where the speaker said that they had gone to just a one question report. And it basically was just asking the grantee, what do you think is important that we know? And and they just left out, and we were like, whoa. So, and then lastly, we had a wondering about the parent council. Malia, we were wondering if you all are stipending them for their work, because we talked about how important it is to make sure that, you know, we value this as labor. I mean, we pay consultants, and if these folks are helping us do our work, then we should be paying for that labor. We have set up a stipend, we call it a solidarium, for our Community Strategy Council, and we do it as much to, you know, I mean, certainly we value the work, but we want them to know that we, you know, we see the wisdom that they are bringing to the work, and we want to, you know, pay them for that. So we just had a wondering about that as well. And that is, I think that's the highlights. Kevin, Fran, anything you would add? Did I miss anything?
I think you covered it mostly. And we're curious how you found these.
Oh, yes.
Thank how you. How you found these community advisors, these parent advisors, and how they had that kind of interface between community and then back to the foundation itself.
Great. Thank you, Kevin. All right, that's it. Thanks, Fran. That's it from our group.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Anyone else?
I can share next on behalf of our group, Niloufar and Shahina, and then I think Kate had a jump off. Oh, Kate's still here. We also talked about working with our boards to do this work, and thinking and brainstorming together about how to, you know, how each one of us at our individual foundations need to come up with a message and a frame that really resonates for our boards. We talked about, you know, asking the board tough questions, such as why are we really doing this? What if we fail? What it really means to develop effective strategies to do racial equity work. And as Shahina talked about in her presentation, how to ground this in strategy. We also talked about, you know, grounding the language in terms of impact, since our boards are all interested in understanding impact. Shahina also shared a really nice strategy of meeting one-on-one with board members to understand their perspective and to have conversations in a more intimate setting. And then we talked about, you know, the reality that there are varying degrees and levels of understanding across our boards and individual members for their own race and privilege, and what that means to have multi-generational boards, and with new board members coming up, there might be more of an opportunity to do this work. And then also we talked about, you know, leadership change at foundations as a way to reframe the work that we're doing in terms of our own grant making. Niloufar and I talked about how there's an opportunity with our new executive directors to do this work. And we shared, you know, a little bit of progress that has been made since our last group meeting. So just, you know, really thinking through together what it means to do this work with our boards and sharing strategies on how to do it effectively. Shahina, Niloufar, did I miss anything? Okay.
Awesome.
Thank you, Jen. Anyone else want to share? We got two more groups.
I can share quickly. It was Julie, me, and Leslie in a group with Malia. So we got to ask her some of the questions that it sounds like came up for other groups as well. And very much a lot of what we talked about resonates with what's already been said, so I won't repeat that. But I do think something that I'm taking away that was interesting was even doing 10%, which is a lot to do and to get to that point, it causes this ripple effect on the rest of the internal systems that'll make it easier. You didn't say this, Malia, but my assumption is it would make it easier if you go back the next time for 20%, because you now have the ability to take in applications through your portal in a different way. And you've got like these ways of reviewing, and you've got the structure to put the committee in place and pay them and do all of the other kinds of work that you were describing. And that was no small feat, that even it sounds like even if people were very much on board with the idea, when it comes down to changing the way that internal operations happen, that still takes time and effort, and everybody has to, it's hard. It's always going to be harder than you think. I'm seeing Malia nod, so I'm assuming I'm effectively summarizing some of what we heard. And then I think Julie and I, being at the same organization, this group, which has also had some thinking out loud in front of Leslie and Malia about what are the implications for our work. And if we were to take, say, 10% and do this kind of work, how do we make sure that that does inform the other 90% and doesn't become this, like, oh, well, we do that over here, you know? So that's something that I think we're going to take away and look forward to continuing to learn from you, Malia, and others in this group.
That's awesome. Thank you, Macy. But anyone else want to share? We have maybe like a really quick share, because we would like to spend a little bit of time on identifying some additional areas for learning. All right. Well, thank you all for sharing all of that. This is such a rich learning community. It's really great to hear all the reflections and great work happening. So the last part of this agenda is we are going to conduct a brief poll to hear more about any other areas you want to learn more about. If there are some emerging trends, ECF would consider hosting another session. So you can, the poll questions are in terms of like the areas of interest or areas where you might want to learn more about, include things like how to talk to your board, how to incorporate grantee and community feedback in your racial equity grantmaking process, how to advance internal equity within your own organization, strategies to center racial equity in every step of your grant making, how to incorporate learning and evaluation into your organization's racial equity grant making process, and if there's something else you want to suggest, there's room for that too. So, okay, here we go. And can you submit up to two, or how will that work?
It's to choose the one most important issue, but you're free to put whatever you'd like in the chat as well. And we're going to save the chat and Fran can edit that.
All right. Thank you so much. I'm going to hand it back to Fran, I think, to close us out. But really, thank you all for welcoming me back into your space today. Really learned a lot from you all, and it was fun.
Well, thank you, Elena, so much. You know, ECF has not done something like this. So I sort of want to say congratulations to all of you for being here. And also just, I'm so happy we're able to offer it, you know, as a learning community for folks to just talk about this stuff, because we heard that that's what people said they wanted. And so it's great to be able to offer it. Oh, good. And we even have clearly something that people are really interested in. Not a probably total surprise, but given that, we will go back to the leadership team and look at that particular issue area and see if maybe we can do another one of these and just invite people in to talk about what they've done and to just sort of strategize. I think we're all learning. As someone said in my group, you know, we're all on the journey and we all have lots to learn from each other. So thank you all for being here. And Elena, thank you so much for just giving us the opportunity to do this. We so appreciate you being willing to engage here with us. And I thank everybody for being here today. Any last minute thoughts, questions, comments?
I'd almost like to just have, based on how quickly things move in philanthropy, like almost like a 1 year kind of like circle back, like what experiments did you try and how did it go sort of thing. I would really like that.
I think that's a great idea.
Love that.
Last chance.
I mean, I'd be interested. We're trying to figure out, you know, if there's certain policies, if there's certain principles internally that we could develop. And if all of you have had success figuring out how to implement or put some of these things into words or principles within your organizations, I'd certainly be curious what those look like.
Great. Yep.
Any other last minute thoughts? Going once, going twice. Okay. Thank you all again. Thank you, Elena, again. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Stay dry. I guess I don't have to say drive safe because probably not most of us are not driving anywhere. But if you are, drive safe. thank you, Zoom, for not completely cutting out on us, right?
Yeah. Bye, everyone.
Shahina, thank you both for sharing your stories and everybody for participating. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks. And sure, everyone. Bye-bye.
Hi, Jen. Bye, Shahina. Thanks again, Elena.
Okay, so we're not staying on, or are we?
If you want, Fran, you just wanted to do it a little housekeeping. So Fran, you got the 60% was on that question number two, how to incorporate.
Yeah.
And it was clearly the winner.
Very clearly.
20% were how to implement and 20% were how to incorporate. And the other six choices didn't get any, other three choices rather, didn't get any things.
What and were the other ones, Ken? Or did you save the poll?
I have it written down, yeah. So how to implement was the first. I didn't write down the whole question, but 20% were on how to implement, and the other 20% were on how to incorporate. So you can use those to see which the questions there were.
I don't see implement, so I'm.
I'll go back and figure it out.
Okay, great. Well, and you guys are a leadership team, so I'm thrilled you're here.
We didn't get any comments in the chat that I saw with additional points that we missed.
Okay.
But I thought that Nilofar's point at the end about circling back in a year or so would be pretty interesting.
Yeah, yes. Definitely.
So we can.
That was also telling. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I thought what was also telling is no one felt like there was still something left in how do we sort of broach this conversation with the board.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised by that.
Yeah. So
I was really surprised too.
Yeah. So,
well, you know, people were only
like they got something from today. Mm-hmm.
And we only asked for one thing. So maybe, you know, in retrospect, maybe had we asked for two, it would have been interesting to see what that second one would be. But because 20%, I don't know, we'd have to figure out it's one or two people. So,
yeah, not everybody voted. Only 83% of the people voted.
Okay.
So there were a couple of people that didn't vote. I found the list, Fran. So the other, how to incorporate grantee and community feedback in your racial equity grant making process, that was the winner.
Yeah.
And then the 20%, the balance were split between how to incorporate learning and evaluation to your organization's racial equity grant making process. And then how to advance internal within your own organization.
Okay. I know in my group, we talked a lot about how do you engage community? How do you keep community? How do you not have it be just a one-off? Do you, you know, are we stipending them just like we stipend, you know, consultants? How do you balance their input with some level of accountability in terms of what you're looking for and for outcomes. So I think there's a lot of more in that area that we certainly could have another one of these that just focuses on that. If either of you, Shahina, Ken, Jenny, Jen, have ideas about who else might be able to talk about that. So we could kind of do this, a similar setup. I don't know if we could get Elena again, that'd be awesome. But if not, we could just have sort of a similar setup when we have people who could come in, like we could ask maybe Malia again in September to talk about their whole California league and just, you know, what that looks like, how they've brought people on board, how they're gonna bring people on board. If there's other folks you know that are doing really good community engagement work, or maybe Shahina, you talk more in depth, not about your board, but really about the community advisory board strategy council that you've pulled together.
Yeah, I felt Malia gave us so much content. I was really trying to stay within 5 to 6 minutes.
You did great. You did great. I know it's a lot.
But I could have gone deeper into some of the, what did it actually look like? Mm-hmm. I think definitely inviting Malia back is something that's really important to speak more. I think she could actually be like a headliner. Mm-hmm. People really resonated with her, you know, being able to go into depth about some of the specific you know, moves and actions. Mm-hmm. And so I thank her, and, you know, we could think about more folks, you know, I'd be happy at always in small group. And I could talk more about the Community Strategy Council. You know, we could even share steps. We could think about this in terms of a series, just like, I always have a hard time pronouncing her name. I feel so bad. Niloufar. I think that she really just saw the need of us having these check-ins around this work. And if it were more of a series, we could do Malia focusing in on one area. The second part could be more, you know, someone else talking about it. Maybe it's more workshop thinking about it. So there are lots of ways of I think taking a bite at this apple.
Mm-hmm. Ideas.
Right. I mean, we had 15 people.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I mean, in the middle of an afternoon for an hour and 15 minutes, it worked. Mm-hmm. You know, you're never sure, you know, are people getting caught up? We had people who canceled last minute, but you don't ever really know. And I think the turnout speaks to people really are interested in mm-hmm. more about this. And I'm got to say, I'm really happy ECF is able to do it, because I'm not happening outside of people's own individual organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can learn together, and that people can take that back and go, hey, this is what mm-hmm. they did at Rising Simons. I think I want to look at part A and B in my own foundation. You know, that's the whole point of enhancing grant making effectiveness.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. Great.
So fabulous.
Yeah. So I think definitely, you know, if we had to say the next step, like having Malia kind of breaking that down more, I think would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I imagine she.
And then we could see what happens after that, you know. Okay. Meanwhile, there's so much, you know, that's already, the process is dynamic, and maybe what folks feel like they need after that, we can sort of go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think that'd be great. Why don't I get back in touch with Malia and just make sure that she's up for that, which, you know, I'm imagining she will be. And then we can, you know, we have a meeting coming up at the end of May for our regular ECF meeting, but we can, you know, conceivably do something towards the end of April.
Yeah.
That, you know, once I get an okay date from all of you, we just sort of put it out there, and whoever can make it can make it. It's the best we can
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm.
We give people a little bit of notice, it works. So mm-hmm. sound like a good plan moving forward?
Yeah, I do. And then, you know, you may see like the next step is for folks evaluation. So like we're further along. And so that's my interest. Right. Mm-hmm. So then folks that are further along may say, we're interested in seeing what does this look like from the evaluation. From the strategic piece. Yeah. So, you know, that's where my headspace is because I know at the end of the day, just how that's very important in our work.
I think it'll be interesting to get a sense whether this is just a hot topic that everyone's doing now, and a year from now, you know, people forget about it. Cause I think it's something that it's going to have to be pushed forward for a number of years in order to take a lasting effect.
Totally. So, absolutely. Absolutely.
Totally.
I mean,
yeah.
If the funding is intended to help marginalized communities who typically are Black and Brown,
right.
I can't really see how we could, like how it goes away unless we are moving too fast without really thinking about what it means and the true impact. You know, there are lots of different paths here, but we really want to make sure that people are getting an understanding of what this work could look like and what it means and how critical it is for this movement.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In this movement, yeah.
Can't just change the topic in a year because you decided you want to focus on something else now. it's gotta develop some roots and grow.
And it's so inherent in any work that any foundation does or be thinking about when they do the work in terms of its impact on children and families that, this is not something you just once and it goes away.
Right. But Franny, you have to, when you think about sometimes how philanthropies are developed, they are inherently and unfortunately they have perpetuated the oppressive systems that we have today. And it is about getting money out the door, even though some of them may have good intentions, getting money out the door. And so here you come with this racial equity stuff, this feel good stuff, this Black Lives Matter stuff. And when the dust settles, we're gonna go back to what we normally do. And that may mean, being able to shelter tax money and some of the, what philanthropy does. Mm-hmm. So, but I think the folks that really keep the conversation alive are the people, where we are, not necessarily, the board members or the CEOs, but the folks that are closer to hearing the people that are impacted. And so we just have to keep it alive for those reasons. We're not really, the work is, it really makes no meaning if you can't liberate the people that you're intending to support. It's like, at some point it just gets like, why are we doing this? So I am so happy for the opportunity to connect and let me know whatever. I'm always here to serve however I can, guys.
It was a good afternoon, Fran. Thanks a lot for organizing everything.
Yeah, no, it was really great. And I think maybe we'll pull together a leadership team call and just sort of talk through some of this and figure out kind of next step strategy and update the folks who weren't able to come. Lyda was unable to make it. And we know Cara had the emergency. So great to bring them on board as well.
Okay. Yeah.
You'll hear
Thank you. Great. Thank you all. Thanks all. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.